Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, thank you for, and thanks everyone for joining us tonight. This is our last show of the year. We are going to be talking about self-sabotage. Are you guilty? But first, we're going to start with the word of praise and song by Jonathan McReynolds called I Gotta Have You.
I gotta have you, I gotta have you, I gotta have you, I gotta have you, oh Lord, I gotta have you. I gotta have you, I gotta have you, I gotta have you, I gotta have you, oh Lord, yeah, gotta have you, yeah. You make me as happy as I can be, your love is a guarantee.
Everybody, to God's great love for you, for us. This is our last show of the year. Tonight, we're going to be talking about self-sabotage. Are you guilty? I want to first start off with, I think this is a perfect topic for the end of the year, because as we begin to wind down and think about and reflect about 2022 and what it was and what it wasn't, we just want to have a heart full of thankfulness. But I think we need to deal with the issues that could keep us from our and walking in the Lord. So I'm going to start with prayer. My husband keeps reminding me. Just wanted to get that out the way. Father God, we just thank you tonight. We love you for this opportunity and for you allowing us to minister to the world tonight about the things that will bring glory to your name and will grow us up in you. I thank you, Lord, today that you speak through each one of us. I thank you for those who are joining us, who are listening to this in the archives. And I bless your name and thank you, Lord, today for high expectations of us understanding your word and being more mature and walking in more truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So this topic I felt was the perfect subject to end the year. Because all of us have probably different reasons of why we did or didn't do certain things that God led us to do, or why we may be sitting on the fence about them. But one of the things me and my husband came up, Bishop Carver, was about sabotage and self-sabotage. We came up with an alternate term, topic, a different title actually, but we didn't like that topic, so we changed sabotage. Are you guilty? Many of us are in different ways for whatever reason. But I want to give a definition, just a working definition of sabotage, and then I want to give a working definition of self-sabotage and what happens. Sabotage is when you deliberately destroy, damage, or obstruct something, especially, this is the definition according to the Webster's, especially for political or military advantage, power line, okay? The action of sabotaging something, destroy or obstruct something. When it comes to self-sabotage, it's when people or you or don't do or don't do things that block their success or prevent them from accomplishing their goals. It can happen consciously or unconsciously. Self-sabotaging behaviors can affect our personal and professional success as well as our mental health. We're talking about our spiritual maturation and development in Christ for the kingdom of God. That's why we're talking about this topic, right? And I think that we're just going to bounce off of each other, share the word, of course. And I just wanted to open up the topic. And I'm also going to open up the mics as well for anyone who wants to chime in, give their input as well. I believe very shortly that self-sabotage for me had a lot to do with my lack of healing, my fear based on things from my past, you name it. But you know what? The reason why it was so deeply rooted in my life at the very beginning is because I was unaware of it. I was unaware that I was self-sabotaging what God said. And one of the things me and Bishop Carver, my husband, will be sharing, not just our own experiences, that's just probably, we'll share very little of that, but sharing in the word about why we do this and why we should not self-sabotage. So, next.
Well, before we go any further, I want to really encourage everyone on the line tonight. If you are inclined, feel free to make a comment or chime in at any time and be led by the Spirit. Let God lead you if there is something that the Holy Spirit is giving you to say. Tonight, I want to say about self-sabotage, that it is a man from God that we love ourselves. And it's easy for us when we hear God say that the first and great commandment is to love him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. And when we hear that, it makes perfect sense because God is almighty. God is all powerful. He's all knowing. He's present everywhere. He's given us his son, Jesus Christ, so that we could be free from sin and we could be physically whole. And so loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that is easy to comprehend. But then we hear to love others, and we understand that also. And then it says we're to love others as we love ourselves. And many of us don't even hear that last part because we hear God, love God and love others, but we don't hear as you love yourself as a part of that command from God. So really what is to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and love yourself, because you can't love others till you love yourself and then love others. So one of the things in the way of this love of self is self-sabotage, because the devil can get you to talk yourself out of God's blessings for you, thinking that you're being humble, thinking that you're being meek, thinking that you're being obedient to God, when in fact you are rejecting the blessings of God, not allowing God to get the kind of glory that he right. wants to get from you.
Right.
So God's desire for you is that you be delivered, that you be healed, that you be free, that you be encouraged, and that you be peaceful. And as you study God's word, you're going to find that everything I'm saying is true. And once again, I always want to encourage you to study God's word for yourself. You should never go on what somebody else says about what is in the word of God. You should always allow God to be the one who speaks to you through his word, because God magnified his word above his name. I want to point you to a couple passages of scripture tonight. One is going to be found in James chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And one of the ways that we prevent ourselves from self-sabotage is by submitting ourselves to the Lord, yeah, humbling ourselves to God and telling God we love you. And then resisting the devil means that whatever it is that we think, whatever it is that we feel, whatever it is that we're addicted to, whatever it is that we believe, we reject that in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we watch the devil flee from us. See, it doesn't say we got to run from the devil. Nope. We're not running from the devil. If you're running from the devil, I can promise you, you're heading in the wrong direction, because there's no glory for God and his children running from the devil. What this says is submit yourselves to God, humble yourself to God, resist the devil. So that means you resist doubt, resist worry, you resist fear, you resist unbelief, and all of those things. You resist your addictions that are stealing your time and stealing your money and stealing your attention and stealing your health and stealing your strength. You resist these things, and then you watch the devil flee from you. But that means that you've got to be operating the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Now, people are like, oh, what's the Holy Spirit in my life? Well, the power of the Holy Spirit consists of operating the manifestations of that power in your life. So you will be speaking in tongues. You will be speaking in tongues and interpreting. You will be prophesying. You will be receiving words of knowledge. You will be receiving words of wisdom. You will be receiving discerning of spirits. You will be operating in supernatural acts of faith. You will be performing miracles, and you will be healing people. See, and as you're doing that, what's going to happen is you're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And the fruit of the Spirit is powerful, because what is produced in your life is love, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. And one of those fruit, the last one, is self-control. And that is one of the biggest ways that we flee and we resist the devil. That self-sabotages just by saying no to our doubt, no to our worry, no to our fear, and no to our unbelief, and no to our addictions.
So are you saying that if we're not operating in these things, and we're not using all that God has given us, could you consider that sabotage?
Absolutely, because God has not placed unlimited power within you for you to not use it. And so it would be like me giving you a black American Express card, which is unlimited,
right?
And you never using it, you putting it in your wallet or your pocketbook and believing that it's not really loaded. It's not really available for you to use. If you do use it, your Heavenly Father is not going to pay the bill every 30 days, right?
Yeah.
Understanding that God owns everything. God owns everything. So if God gives you something to do, then it's God gives you the provision to get that job done. And that means that you have to trust him to bring the provision to you. You have to believe that, yes, when you pull that black American Express card out and you use it, it is going to always go through. It is going to always do the job. Well, the Holy Spirit is your Black American Express card. It is your unlimited power that you're able to use wherever you go. And when you fully walk into what that is and stop rejecting God's blessings, stop believing that the blood of Christ was not enough to cover all your sin, then you're going to wake up. Then you're going to get this. Then you're going to start studying the Word of God a little more intensively, because you're going to begin to understand that this is real.
Pastor Carver?
I think that needs to be more engaging. I want this show to be where the reason why we did this show, is not just to, we want to challenge each other with thoughts. And of course, the Word is there for us to not argue over or debate. But I think that a lot of times when we presentations that are generated, that's why I asked you about, if we're not doing this, would you consider that sabotage? But you're right, because according to the definition I gave, it said consciously or subconsciously sabotaging, not using all that God has given us to use in our arsenal is sabotage for whatever reason. Not taking an assessment or valuing what you do have, and are you using everything? One of the things is that when it gets low, food gets low sometimes in our homes, and to conserve money and to conserve energy or time, we should be good stewards of the things that we have and use what we have. And until we use what we have, sometimes we don't know we have it. And that's what I realized. And that's considered prodigal, like the prodigal son, or wasteful. Wasteful. That word prodigal means wasteful. And so I think there's a level of wasteful living that we use, that we utilize every day. And the Lord was like, you come to him in prayer and you ask him for certain things. And he says, I gave you what you needed. And you're trying to figure out, if it's not exactly what you asked for, where is the potential? Where is the thing that you said you gave me? And a lot of times it is our faith. A lot of times it's the level of obedience that we walk in. One of the scriptures that I'm thinking of is the one that Jesus gave his disciples. He says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And the reason why that came up to me is because many times when we sabotage, we think we have no power behind what we're doing. We have no power to walk and do what God has told us to do according to what he told us. But greater is he that's in us. We're not alone. So for some of us, it is not loving yourself. For some of us, it's fear. For some of us, thinking, I'm by myself. One of the things God dealt with me earlier this year, having a conversation with several people about this topic, not using the terms for self-sabotage, but just talking about fear of certain things, fear of success, fear of being all that God has called you to be and the cost that it goes with it. And later on, I will be sharing some scriptures about counting up the cost. Because if you are addressing, and each one of us has different reasons for why we may in the past have self-sabotaged or did. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's not loving yourself. I'm thinking each one of us can all think of different reasons. Distraction, pride, all this. But I want to talk further on about counting up the costs and what it talks to be, what it takes, and the commitment and the submission that it takes and the surrender that it takes of our soul, so we don't constantly find ourselves wavering back and forth and believing what God has said and who God says we are. I do believe in some cases, which I'll probably bring up to later, is identity crisis. Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you, this topic about self-sabotage is important to consider, because a lot of times we believe that it is the devil who is fighting us. And many times, if we really think about it, we're fighting ourselves. And not to say that the fiery darts don't come from the devil, because they do, but we have control of what comes out of our mouth. We have control of what we meditate upon,
yeah.
Control of what we ponder, and what we ponder the most is going to be manifested in what we say and what we do. And what you're going to find is that the biggest challenge in life is going to be reconciling what you say with what you do, so that what you say becomes what you do. And what you say is going to end up being the result of what you are thinking and meditating upon the most. What you are thinking and meditating upon the most is what is going to come out of your mouth. And what comes out of your mouth is what you're going to end up doing in some way, shape, or form. The best example I can think of as it pertains to this is Job. In the Old Testament, in Job, it said that Job was the most righteous man. He was righteous before God. God said he was righteous. And what's fascinating is that he was afraid that his children were not submitting to God. He was afraid that his children, who were living in luxury as a result of his obedience, as a result of his faithfulness, as a result of his love for God, his children, he was afraid that they were cursing God. He was afraid that they were blaspheming against God and turning away from the one who provided their lavish lifestyle, where they all had their own house and they all ate in one another's house from day to day and feasted and had these feasts where they were acknowledging God in their life. And so Job is praying in out of fear, in a response to fear. And that fear brought Job up on the devil's radar, because the devil said, hey, wait, if this guy is so faithful, what is he, and so righteous, what is he afraid of? And then he discovered, oh my goodness, he's afraid that his kids are not serving God. He's afraid his kids are turning away. And he's gone. And so then the devil thought that opened a door of attack. And it did open a door of attack. That fear is like when a shark smells blood. If you're swimming in the ocean and you cut yourself, it will attract the attention of predators, because they will see a living organism that is in the process of dying when they smell blood. And that's what's going to invite them into your life. Well, fear is like that. Doubt is like that. Worry is like that. Unbelief is like that. And it causes you to meditate upon things that are not consistent with what you really want. What you really want are the blessings of God in your life. And when you really want the blessings of God in your life, you need to practice walking a strong, intentional love walk toward God first, yourself second, and others third. And when you do that, then what you're going to find is that the doubt, the worry, the fear, the unbelief is going to be gone, and you are going to be walking into God's blessings for you. Now, that's going to require more of you. You're going to have to do more, but what you're doing is going to be consistent with what you say you want. If you say you want to be blessed, then you've got to do what's required in order to be blessed. I want to share this particular scripture with you in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and the first part of verse 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So we're to resist the devil steadfast in the faith, but it says we're to be sober, we're to be vigilant, and the reason why is because our adversary is the one who has set himself against us, the devil, roameth around as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, you know what that search is for? He's searching for fear. He's searching for doubt. He's searching for worry. He's searching for unbelief. And here's the thing. We know perfect love casts out fear. So that means if you are loving God, loving yourself, and loving others, which is perfect love, then fear has to go, and you're not in that category of whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. See, when the devil went around seeking whom he may devour, and he found this most righteous man, Job, praying and offering sacrifices before God on his wayward children, he said, oh, I have something here. And it made him bold enough to go all the way before God. And God acted like he didn't know why he was there. He said, hey, he's like, what are you doing here? Where are you coming from? The devil said, oh, from running up, from walking up to and fro in the earth and up and down in it, right? And then he just acted like, hey, have you, oh, no, no, no. God said to Job, God said to the devil, he's like, have you considered my servant Job? So God brought Job up to the devil, but it was to show that he knew why the devil had come before him. He knew that the devil wanted to tempt Job. He knew that the devil wanted to test Job. He knew that the devil thought he found a chink in Job's armor. And he did. He found fear. And the fear in Job is what led to all the other events that happened subsequently. But what God used that for was as an opportunity for more glory for himself. Because even after Job suffered personal loss, he lost everything he had. He was the richest man on earth at the time. He lost everything he had. Then, and among the things he lost was the lives of all of his children. And after losing his children and everything he owned, then he didn't curse God. And you know, the devil told God, hey, if you take everything from him that he has, he won't bless you. He won't be faithful to you. He'll curse you to your face. And Job passed the test. He didn't curse God. And then the devil came back again, a second time, and said, hey, if you touch his body, he'll curse you to your face. And so God let the devil play with boils from the top of Job's head to the bottom of his feet. And Job was in pain. Job was humiliated. Job's friend showed up and started saying, hey, you did something to bring this upon yourself. And that wasn't the case, because we know God said Job was more righteous than any man on earth. And when God says you're righteous, you're righteous. So I want you to come into agreement with God. What God says in his word about you is you are the righteousness of him, his son, Jesus Christ, through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, that was powerful enough to pay for all of your sin. So you need not worry. You need not doubt. You need not fear. But you need to stand in absolute faith, confidence, and trust against those fiery darts of the devil, against the wiles of the devil, against the attacks of the devil. And you need to receive God's grace and God's mercy new every day. So I want to ask Pastor Carver what she thinks are the greatest things that lead people to believe they are not worthy of God's blessings.
You said it. It has a lot to do with you agreeing who you are in Christ. And that's your reference. Everything else is not a good foundation. And a lot of times people are struggling with their identity or believing what the word says about you, or even something you said that made me think about, well, if you don't know, your job is to get to know. Your job is to be in a place where you're learning. And that in itself is a level of submission to the word of God, because that is your foundation and that is your core belief and value system. On the word of God. And so when you're struggling within yourself, you will self-sabotage, no doubt. You'll let and sometimes, you know, you'll even sabotage somebody else's issues, somebody else, not, you know, because you can't give what you don't have. And so we need to be careful. We don't stop to think how we affect everybody by not walking in what God is saying, and not using everything and deciding something else you said that made me think of intentionally just saying, I'm going to believe the word of God. I don't care what else. I'm going to believe about me, and I'm going to move forward in that. I don't know what that's going to look like from day to day, but nevertheless, God's word never changes. He's not a man that he would lie or that he needs to repent. And so his void never return. Words don't return void. So anything that God says is life, it's living, it's active. It is like a two-edged sword, but sharper than two, and then any two-edged sword. There's so many characteristics of the Word of God. So you got to be rooted in that. But I know that that's one of the levels of where people sabotage without thinking, is they are having an identity crisis. God needs to heal you, and that's one of the things I want to pray for when we end. But one of the things I want to mention, too, is as I was reading through the Gospels, one of the things that people struggle with is unbelief, like you saying, worry, doubt, and fear, unbelief. You know, when we decide to not lean to our own understanding, first we got to trust God. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to your own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That is very simple. There's so many different principles there that it starts with trust. But we have to believe his word. And when I go to Mark 9, there's a passage where Jesus is, a man brought his young son to him to be healed. Jesus asked the father, how long has he been this way? Because his son was ill. And I'm reading in 9 verses 20, specifically 22 through 23. And 25 through 25. And it has often cast him in the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, this is the Father talking to Jesus. If you are able to do anything, have pity on us and to help us. Jesus was beside himself because he began to say, if you are able, he was like, you're saying if. He said, all things can be done for the one who believes. And immediately the father and the child cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. Now, I think that a lot of times if you know that you're in a cycle where you have been doing this knowingly, because sometimes it's unknown, sometimes it's known, and it's a place of unbelief. It could be unbelief about what God showed you, a word that was prophetically spoken over your life, things that God has said to you, you know, whatever the case may be. Begin to ask the Lord to deal with your unbelief, but also know with him all things are possible. Remember, it says, like I said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He is in you. He is not just walking alongside you. He's not just hovering over you. He's within you. And so those conversations that you need to have, those things where you need to come in agreement with quickly, those things that you need to submit to in his word, he can help you do all that. But this issue with unbelief has to be dealt with. He said, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, you spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. So I think that Jesus was ready, and he's ready with us too, everyone. He is so ready for us to believe so he can do what he needs to do through us. It's a powerful thing. So if that issue of sabotage has to do with, what if I can't do this? What if I fail? What if I don't have what I need? Just know. Just believe. Just believe God where you are. That's my challenge to myself. That's my challenge to others. Believe God where you are. If you would heal. And that's funny to me. He says, if you are able to do anything. Of course God is able to do anything beyond what we ask or think. But we have to ask and we have to think. That's one of the things my mother-in-law said. And there's certain things in the word that just helps us simplify it. If we come to him and say, first of all, I'm not going to self-sabotage knowingly. I'm going to do everything, like you mentioned earlier in the show, to do what I need to do. I'm not going to compromise. And I'm going to learn to be in agreement. And I'm going to walk out and do what God has told me to do. I'm not going to sabotage. I want to ask you a question. So when it comes to self-sabotage, how can you encourage your brother and sister in the body of Christ in a practical way? What would you suggest you do if you see that pattern in their life?
Well, as it pertains to self-sabotage, the first thing that I is to encourage them to use what they have.
Yes.
One of the biggest things that what we have to remember is God gets glory out of us because of his presence in our life. See, he is present within us. God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are dwelling within you. That is unlimited power. And so he's trying to get that power out of you, but you need to understand the magnitude of what you possess. So a great example of this is a Philistine giant came before the children of God and threatened them. He basically made a deal. He's like, hey, if you send out your best warrior and he fights against me and he prevails, then we Philistines will be your slaves. But if you send your champion out to fight against me and I devour and prevail against him, then you'll be our slaves. And that way we won't all have to have a war. And he came out, challenged God's people regularly with this threat. And they kept backing down because this guy's 10 feet tall. He's a giant. And he's really like a tank because they had this armor that was designed for this guy who was built like a tank. And so he's out there issuing this challenge every day. And the children of Israel are cowering in fear. These are the military men cowering in fear. They're like, we don't have anybody who can go up against this guy. And then David, this shepherd boy, about 15 years old probably, goes out and he's just bringing some food to his brothers who are soldiers. And they're upset because he's like, you just came out here so you could see what was going on. You're just being nosy. Go home. You don't belong out here. But he's like, what's going on? He's like, who's this joker up here threatening the children of God openly? And one of the servants of the king, one of the servants the king saw, heard David openly rebuking this Philistine and saying, who is this challenging the army of the living God? And he had, see, first you got to get David's attitude. You have to, when the devil comes up against you, you have to have the attitude of David. How dare the devil challenge you who possess the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, and the presence of his son Jesus Christ within you? How dare the devil approach you and then suggest that he can make you his slave, right? And one of the things about this is that one of the things you can do is to do what David did. Because, see, when Saul, King Saul, brought David before himself, he said, hey, you think you can take on this Philistine? Do it. He said, you're going to get, and one of the other things David asked before he went into this and accepted this assignment, he said, what's in it for the guy who kills this Philistine? And his brothers told him, hey, the guy who kills the Philistine is going to get the king's daughter in marriage, and his family is not going to have to pay taxes forever. And David said, that's something worth fighting for. And so you need to know what it is that God is giving you to do that you excited about doing for God to get glory for God, so that you're not just fighting for the sake of fighting. You first have to know what you're fighting for. What is it God has promised you, right? And then don't stop short of everything required to get that promise. So the first thing that King Saul did was load this 15-year-old up with armor, body armor, so he could go in up against this giant who was clad with armor, this 10-foot man clad with armor. And he put all this armor on David, and David's like, I can't even move in this stuff. And see, that's what people do sometimes, not understanding the power of what God has placed in you. And so after David said, hey, I can't move in this, you got to take this stuff off of me. A lot of times that's what people do in religion. They say, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to be here, and you got to get this degree and that degree and all these things. And they're just piling armor on you. And you have to be able to trust in the power of the Holy Spirit within you and say, hey, wait, I don't need all that. And a lot of times we'll go down that road, and God will start removing stuff from us. Oh, I need an office. I need my business cards. I need my business phone. I need my $100,000 line of credit. I need all these things you think you need are just dead weight. God is saying what I place within you is so much more powerful, right? And so David said, hey, you know what? I'm going to take these stones that I use in my job as a shepherd, and I killed a bear and I killed a lion with my own hands. that were threatening the sheep I was responsible for, and I'm going to kill this Philistine the same way. And he went out there, and he hit the Philistine in the head with a rock. And then, after the Philistine fell to the ground, he took the Philistine's own sword out of his sheath and cut the Philistine giant's head off with his own sword, right? So he didn't even have to bring the weapon to the engagement. Well, the weapon he brought was the weapon in his hand, which was five smooth stones, but he only had to use one of them, right? And so for us, it's the same thing. So I want to share with you what it says in the book of Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, what it says is, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and all to stand. Stand, therefore, with your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So that's what we're being asked to do, is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, many times what we're doing is we are assessing our own limitations, and we're not acknowledging the power of God within us that allows us to call upon that power and be strong, right? "Greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world," is what it says in 1 John 4:4. It says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That's 1 John. And when you understand that, then when the devil confronts you, you're not backing down from that. But that's one of the things that you have to remember is we oftentimes are asked to walk into the fullness of the power of God and use it so that we can be delivered, so that we can be healed, so that we can be free, so that we can be encouraged, so that we can be powerful. But we are powerful so that we can empower others. We're encouraged so that we can encourage others. We're free so that we can free others. We're healed so that we can heal others, and we're delivered so that we can deliver others. See, that's where loving God, loving yourself, and then loving others comes into play. You know why you've been so blessed, so that you can be a blessing to others.
Pastor Carver?
All that makes me do is to think about the responsibility and the cost of discipleship. And I think of what Jesus said in chapter 14 of Luke, and how he was talking to them because he had large crowds following him and traveling with him. And he turned and he said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father, mother, wife, and children, brother and sister, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." He said, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not first set down and build and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and he was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to wage war against another king will sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." See, there's a cost to walking with the Lord. And so we talked about fear. We talked about unbelief. We talked about worry. We talked about not loving yourself. We talked about walking in the word and agreeing with the word, identity. But this came to me too, about counting up the cost of discipleship, leaving everything to follow the Lord and submit to his total will. It's going to cost you something. I think something that you said earlier made me think of being happy-go-lucky, thinking that you're not going to go through something and just thinking that there's not a cost and that you will go through things and through test and trial, but it's for a greater good. But there is a cost, and it is very, very dear. And sometimes, by default, we will sabotage ourselves because of the cost. But when we think of what Jesus did, what God did by sending his son and the sacrifice, then, you know, we can do, God can help us do whatever we need to do. This is what this scripture made me think of, but it also made me think of Moses and when God called him. And one of the things he said in Exodus 4 that made me think of him having a great assignment, huge assignment. You know, I'm going to read out of Exodus 4 because this really rung true to me too. He was thinking about his inabilities and his impediments. And he said, then Moses answered, but suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And so he's talking about the staff in his hand, because that's the scripture that I heard when you were mentioning about thing that you have. And God showed him what was in his hand, and he said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw the staff on the ground, and it became a snake, and Moses drew back from it. And the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and seize it by the tail. So he reached out his hand and grasped it, and it became a staff in his hand, so that they may believe the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham and God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared. So he was giving him, he was taking away his excuses by showing him who he was through him. And so that's just one of, there's so many examples in the word of God about how, first of all, people are transparent. The people that God calls, they're human just like we are. They were flesh and blood just like we are, and called to do what God said. And he just started telling the Lord what all his fears were. I think there's another scripture, and I don't want to misquote it, where they were talking about their speech was not well, that they stuttered.
That was Moses.
That was Moses as well. And God dealt with that. So any question that you have, one of the ways, which my husband mentioned about how he would encourage somebody with sabotage, is one of the ways I would encourage you to deal with self-sabotage is be honest with the Lord about what your fears are. Be on, and don't just say, well, I'm just telling you why I can't do this, because he'll have something to say about all your worries, your doubts, your fears. And he'll tell you what, he'll show you who he is by taking away your excuses. Moses is a good example. There's a lot of different examples. And I think of another example too. The fishes and the loaves. The fishes and the loaves, there's so many principles in that story, but one of the things I thought of is what people see as little, God sees different. And he multiplied that and fed the multitude of people. He did this more than once. And it's like he had compassion on the people, and he began to, you know, say, he took the bread and he lifted it up to heaven and blessed it and multiplied it. And I think that's, once again, is taking what you have, using everything and bringing it to the Lord, trusting it. He submitted to the Lord by giving the Lord his staff. We have to give God everything we have. And there's a cost of discipleship. And that means give God everything you have. Come to him. Cast all your cares on him. If you are going to tell somebody that you trust your worries and your fears, more than likely. So even if that scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to your own understanding, trust the Lord, begin to talk to him about some of your insecurities and your issues. But he'll tell you what's in your hand, what you already have.
You know, Pastor Carver, that is a great example using Moses' example when he said, why is Pharaoh going to listen to me? Mm-hmm. And many of us have that same level of doubt about how God is telling us he's going to use us to win many for the kingdom. And we are saying, why are they going to listen to me? And God is telling you what he told Moses. He said, look, the power that you're going to demonstrate before them is going to be why they're going to listen to you. And that's why you have to learn to use the power of the Holy Spirit within you. You have to learn to reject all of those who say it doesn't take all that, because they're basically unbelieving believers. They're people who have not yet grown to a knowledge of the truth so that they can use the power within them. And until they grow to that point, then they're just going to be going through the motions. But when you get past going through the motions and you get into the reality of operating out of the fullness of the power of God, then God is going to begin to stretch you. God is going to begin to lead you into those places of authority, those places of privilege, those places of power. See, after God showed Moses and answered his question, why are they going to believe me? And he said, what's in your hand? Oh, my staff. And he said, well, throw that staff on the ground. And it turned into a snake. And the thing about it was he was afraid. He was afraid of the snake, right? Which you should be, because snakes are poisonous. Snakes have power, right? But then God told him what to do, and he listened. God said, pick the snake up by the tail. I know you're afraid, but pick it up by its tail. And when he picked the snake up by the tail, he got past his fear. Picked the snake up by his tail, right, and it turned into a staff. See, the staff was a sign of authority.
Yeah.
And when God actually used demonstration, when Moses went before Pharaoh and Pharaoh said, oh, let my people go, ha, 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 why am I going to listen to you? And Moses threw his staff down and it turned into a snake. And then Pharaoh called his two magicians, Jannes and Jambres, before Moses, and they threw their staffs on the ground and they turned into snakes. And at that point, you had to wonder what Moses was thinking, because before then, he thought God had given him the answer and given him something nobody else could do. But then he realized, oh, wait, this is something that other people who can use devil spirit power thing. I know at that moment Moses had to be challenged, and we oftentimes are afraid that somehow the power of the world is as powerful as the power of the Holy Spirit within us. But just as I read earlier, we have to remember that we are of God, as it says in 1 John 4:4, and have overcome them, those in the world, because greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. So in that situation, when Moses put his staff on the ground, it turned into a serpent, and then Pharaoh called his Jannes and Jambres before, and they threw their staffs on the ground, and they turned into snakes. Now they got twice as many of their snakes up against Moses' one snake. And what happened next is fascinating, because God caused Moses' snake to swallow and consume the snakes of Jannes and Jambres, Pharaoh's magicians. Basically, his snake fought their snakes and ate them. And then when Moses picked up his snake, became a staff, not only was it bigger, he literally stripped the magicians of Pharaoh's authority from them, because they no longer had their staff of authority. They no longer had what they brought to the game, because it was taken by what was greater. See, in the world, we understand the concept of big eats small, right? So big company swallows up small company every day. We understand the big guy beating down the small guy every day. We get that all the time, right? But when God shows up, he shows up with a David who takes down the giant with a stone and cuts his head off with his own sword. When God shows up, we see Moses with his one staff that turns into a snake, swallow up the two staffs of Pharaoh's magicians and strip them of their authority. And see, that's what we're doing when we walk into the fullness of the power of God that he's placed within us. So look at what it says here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. See, Jesus Christ died for every man. Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. And that's why the unforgivable sin is to reject that payment for your sin by not making Jesus Christ the Lord and Master of your life. And see, when you reject Jesus Christ as Master of your life, you're saying that his blood wasn't powerful enough to cover your sin. But see, Jesus Christ tasted death for every man, but God knew who was going to believe and who was not going to believe. Well, we're not to be in that category of people who don't believe God. Understand that part of loving God is trusting God and obeying God and stepping out and testing his word in faith. Now look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So Jesus Christ, when he took on the flesh and blood of mankind, and through death he destroyed the power of death. He destroyed the power of death in him that had the power of death, the devil. And then it says in verse 15, and deliver them, speaking of us, whom through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, if you want to talk about setting people free, you want to talk about delivering people, you want to talk about taking people out of bondage and healing them and encouraging them and allowing them to, empowering them to be powerful, right? He said, Jesus Christ not only came to destroy death and the power of death and the one that had the power of death to destroy the devil, but he came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, it's the fear of death that you're ultimately responding to. When you self-sabotage, what you're saying is, I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to do only what I have to do. I'm not going to do more than I absolutely know I can do with the change in my pocket and the money in my bank account and whatever it is you think you have. Not understanding that your Heavenly Father owns everything. And see, he's come to deliver us from the fear of death that plagues us for all of our lifetime to be subject to bondage. See, we're not to be subject to bondage. We're to be free. We're delivered. He came to deliver us from the fear of death. And when you're no longer afraid to die, when you understand that Jesus Christ already died for you, he met death. He destroyed death. We have been, he died so that we could have life more than abundantly. And so it's eternal life that gives us the power to do all that we're doing here now, because God is getting heaven out of us when we believe. And that's why we want to be the believers called us to be. Stop playing around with this power that God has placed within you, because it's real. Don't be afraid to open your mouth and speak of the good things that God has done in your life, because God is showing off through you. He's getting power from you. Look at what it says here in Colossians 1:13. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. See, God has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his son. He took us out of the world and put us in the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. And he's delivered us from the power of darkness. We are those who have been delivered. And our job is to help deliver others by introducing them to the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So for this last portion of the program, I want Pastor Carver to really, really let us know how we can intentionally resist self-sabotage, because loving the commandment of God is something that you have to own, and there are real things that we have to do in order to own that. So Pastor Carver, what would you tell them to do?
Make a decision tonight. Make a decision today. Not just because I said it, but because God is leading you into a better life. And there are many opportunities to say no, but there's just as many opportunities to say yes and make a decision. Where it starts. I was sharing today with someone about when I had a big goal in my life. And I think my husband, Bishop Carver, can say the same thing about knowing at a young age what occupation he wanted to do at a very young age and never wavering from that. And you have to decide tonight that if there is any evidence in your life where there is sabotage, open up your heart to the Lord and listen to what he has to say to you about it, about breaking a cycle, or maybe just getting back on course, or maybe, like my husband's saying, using everything you have, or assessing, what do I have that I haven't been using, you know, and just open up yourself to that and start making some moves. But it starts in our heart and in our mind. We have to intentionally agree, this is where it stops. I'm not going to get in my way, and I'm not going to get in God's way anymore. We can't blame the devil for this. That's why it's called self-sabotage. The devil has nothing to do with this. It's self, but he will take advantage of it, won't he? So this is self-sabotage. So that's all I really have to say is make a decision, choosing to recognize that in your life and choosing to say, I'm not doing this anymore, and being available to learn how to uproot it. If it's something that's in your bloodline that you see, like people sabotaging their relationships, that's why they're not married, or people just never finishing school, or people just never believing God to start a ministry. He told them to start, whatever it may be, and you see that this is a pattern in your life, say it stops with me. You choosing not to choose, so I just want to encourage you, it starts with what Jesus said when that man came to him with his child, and he said, you know, if you choose to, you know, what did he say? If you can heal my son, he said, Jesus was appalled and said, what do you mean if? All things are possible if you believe.
Preach.
So when I say choose, I mean really what I'm saying is believe God or
Amen.
Not.
Amen. I want to open it up right now for those who would want to speak on this, knowing that God has told you there's something that he would have you to say as it pertains to self-sabotage. So whoever would like to speak, feel free to do so now.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord. Sounds like Minister Tuggle.
Yes.
Amen. I thank God for what I've heard on tonight. Self-sabotage. Are you guilty? I'm going to say, for me personally, and this is from my own personal life and my own personal opinion, that I have done that in my life. When I first was called to the ministry, I was called at 14. And I ran from it because one of those things was because of fear, because I felt like, hey, who's going to listen to me? What, you know, and I had all of these excuses on why a person would not listen to me. I was, you know, the devil had it in my mind, you know, you came from a person. You're a person that came from you had a learning disability, and you won't be able to learn the word of God, and you're a little kid, and you know, adults won't listen to you, and you won't be able to understand the word of God because you have a learning disability. And it was just so many things, and that's why I ran from it. And at 17, moving forward, at 17 years old, the Lord dealt with me again. And even though I had a learning disability, you know, regarding, you know, school-wise, I was in the LD, the so-called LD classes. I was in the special needs classes. But the Lord had dealt with me and told me and dealt with me in a dream how I was going to minister the word of God. And he wanted me to be a minister for him. And I said, and I went on and took that. But, and I ran on and ran with it. But tonight, I want to say that if the Lord has put something on the inside of you to do for him, do it. Don't be afraid of it. Because a lot of times we not only sabotage ourselves, but we sabotage others because we have other people that are attached to the ministry or the destiny that God has for us.
That's right.
The Bible says that we are to be read by all men. People are watching us. People are looking unto us. And if we don't fulfill the destiny that God has got set for us, we are not only sabotaging ourselves, but we're sabotaging others. It reminds me of the book of Daniel. And it's chapter 3 when King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he set up his golden images. He set up his golden image, and he wanted to that golden image to be praised and to be worshipped. But there were three young men who stood firm on what they believed, stood firm on, you know, who they believed in, and went before King Nebuchadnezzar and said, "I will not bow. We will not serve your gods. We will not bow before your image." Why? Because they had the power of God on them. You know, the power of God was on them to be able to say that because they believed in the power of the God that they serve. And if we believe in the power of God that we serve, we'll be able to say like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "I will not bow. I will not serve your God. I will not give in to my fear. I will not give in to the things that the enemy has said about me, but I will go forth and do what God has called for me to do." And such as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, they went forth and did what God called for them to do, because even in the midst of being in the fire, they were still being used by God with their faith, being in the fire, in the midst of the fire, because King Nebuchadnezzar, when he looked into the fiery furnace, you know, he called all his courtship over and said, and I'm paraphrasing, "I know I threw three people in there. I know I threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in there. But there's a fourth person in that fire. And anytime we go through things, anytime we go through our fears, anytime we go through, there's a fourth person or that second person in our life. And that person is Jesus Christ. He'll be there for us." And all of those people that said that you couldn't do it, all of those people that said, that you're not able to go through this, that you're not able to take that ministry on, that you're not able to write that book, or you're not able to do whatever God has called for you to do, they'll see God in it. And you'll be able to say at the end of it all, you'll be able to say, "I didn't do this. God did it. God did this thing." And so Amen. I want to encourage somebody today that don't walk in your fear, because at the end of it, you'll be able to say God did it, and God will be able to get the glory out of our life in Jesus' name.
Amen. That is an awesome testimony. And I'll tell you, when I you know, when Minister Adam Tuggle spoke about us being living epistles. That really is what God is looking for from each and every one of us. Our life is supposed to be a living epistle. Our life is going to be the only word of God that some people ever see. And when they see the power of God in action, they're going to be drawn to that power because of the transformational power it has in our life. See, the Word of God has the ability to transform us from being regular to being supernatural. I want to share an example of this from the Word of God, but furthermore, I want to go a little further with this, though, because I tell people all the time of Minister Tuggle and all that he does, because there are people who make excuses for why they can't do this and they can't do that and they can't do this. And I see Minister Tuggle doing all that he does and being a man of God and being a husband and being a father. And people I'm amazed because there are people who have been blessed with so much, and they have all these excuses for what they do. And Minister Tuggle just does, and he does because he believes that God is able. See, much like Minister Tuggle, I too was in the basement of a school with the kids that had to learn how to read because the government said, we'll give schools more money if you say the black boys can't read and put them in the basement and have them doing the SAR things and all this stuff. And they're like, what are you doing down here? You read as well as anyone. Sometimes things are about systems of sin and evil and wickedness. We live in a wicked world, right? But when we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, we begin to say yes to God and then not let other people tell us what we can't do. So when I decided I wanted to be an architect at the age of 16, there were people who said, you can't do that because. And I just put those people's name on a list. And when the day came, whatever it was they said I needed that I didn't have, I just scratched them off when I got the thing I needed. And then when I became an architect, much later than 16, but when I did what was required to be an architect, all I was doing was walking into what God promised to me. And that's all it was me trusting God the same way that Minister Tuggle trusts God. Because people, and so many people are so blessed and they don't know how blessed they are. And you know they're not, they don't know how blessed they are because they don't know what they don't use what they have. They don't know what they have. Many people, especially Christians, yeah, they are walking around with a Black American Express pocket and they don't even know it. They're walking around with the blessings of God in them and they don't even know it. They're walking around with unlimited power within them and they don't even know it. And I want to show an example here. Luke chapter 10 verse 17 and 19. This is the first time we see an evidence of what is going to happen after Pentecost, after Calvary, after all these things that had to happen for us to have the Holy Spirit within us. It's an example beforehand where Jesus sent out the 70. He commissioned the 70 to go and to deliver people and to use the power within them. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, 19. It says, and the 70 returned. This is after Jesus Christ sent them out. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, they're speaking to Jesus, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, we're to walk to that level of power. And see, that's the other thing. And people in the world and people who don't know the Bible, they believe the devil is in hell. And we know that the devil is before the throne of God in heaven, accusing the brethren daily. We know where he is, right? And so when Jesus sent these 70 out and they started using the power, they came with joy. They were excited. They said, even the devils are subject unto us in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ. They had to bow down. And just like they had to bow down to them, they got to bow down to us. That's the power we're walking around with. And when we're not using it, that's us not getting glory for God. So God is just saying, look, do that. And when the devil first experienced this, he had to come down and see what was going on. He said, Jesus Christ said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Because he said, hey, wait, before it was just me looking at Jesus, I knew he could do. But now I'm looking at him commission these 70 other people. The power is expanding, right? It's been expanding ever since Calvary, ever since Pentecost. And we're a part of that power. We got that power within us. I just want to encourage each and every one of you. Don't let the devil talk you out of who you are. One of the ways you remind yourself of who you are is by loving God better, trusting God more, obeying God more, loving God more, praising God more, sharing has accomplished more with others. And then loving yourself, taking time to rest, taking time to work, taking time to fast, taking time to feast, taking time to study God's word, to pray, to fellowship with like-minded believers, and let yourself live a more than abundant life mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. Let God bless you because he wants you to be blessed. He said, look, when you do my things my way, I will reward you openly. When you fast secretly, I reward you openly. When you pray secretly, I reward you openly. When you do your good deeds secretly, I will reward you openly. When you forgive openly, I'll forgive you. And so God is just saying, come into agreement with me. Seek first my kingdom. Seek my righteousness and all the things the world is killing themselves to get. I'm just going to give to you. That's what he did to his people. The land of Canaan, the promised land, he took it from those who built it up in pride, setting themselves against God in pride. And then he said, you know what? What you build up in pride against me, I'm just going to give it to my people, these nomads. To the nomads. I'm just going to give it to them because it's mine to give them. And even to this day, we would say there are those who dispute whether that land belongs to the children of Israel or not. But you know what? When God gives you something, it's yours because it's his. God says in his word, happy to be envied are those who love the Lord. Well, why would anybody be happy to be envied? You know what people do to people they envy? They persecute them. You think of kings, the children of kings. The children of kings are abused when they go to school. They endure much hardship, but you know what? In exchange for that hardship, they live a lavish life. They live a protected life. They live a safe life. They live a wonderful, purposeful life, right? And we have to be like that because our God is all-powerful, is all-knowing, and is present everywhere. So I want to call on Pastor Carver to help close us out tonight and lead us into what you think God would have us to hear from him.
I want to pray and just mention a couple of things without repeating it because I believe this is a continue to be on us individually as well as corporately in this new year. This is the last show of the year. And when we were talking about this, I didn't realize this is our last show for the year, but it's a perfect show. It's a perfect way to end this show. Next year will bring different agendas, and whatever God gives us, we will give it. But I just wanted to be encouraged. You have everything that you need to do what God has told you to do. Believe and study your word and surround your life with the word and live it out. Ask God to give you understanding in all things. You gotta trust him, because when he begins to give you understanding, what you'll find is that you will be strengthened. You will be enlightened. There will be favor on you. I find it a little annoying when every time I turn around, the people of God are asking about, are asking God for favor. We walk in it every day.
Amen.
We walk in it every day. We have favor. Why do we have to ask for it? That just means there's some level of unbelief. Mm-hmm. And
preach.
That means that wherever we lack, God is the one who fills in those places where we lack, where we are weak. He strengthens us. So I think that when you have a come to Jesus moment with the Holy Spirit, so to speak, you will begin, he'll begin to tell you who you are. And a lot of times, many times, the Lord is gentle with us, but he's not going to withhold truth from us about ourselves. So for some of us, be encouraged. Choose. You not choosing is choosing. Be willing to repent if needed. Turn from the ideology that started you on the path of self-sabotage in the first place. Don't make excuses. Begin to do the work. We have lots of work to do for the kingdom of God. And I want everybody that hears this to be encouraged. Share your testimony. That is one of the ways that we overcome, by the blood of the Lamb, testimony, as we are transparent about those issues. Like Pastor Minister Tuggle and Pastor and I share tonight about our different struggles. But the moment, I tell you this, one thing I have said, and I think my husband can chime in, the moment that you decide to believe God, things begin to change, and they don't change slowly. The moment that you decide to come into agreement and believe God, just like that man said, help God my unbelief, because I do believe, help my unbelief, God begins to expand. I'm going to end with prayer, and I just want you to don't delay the purposes of God in your life, or like Minister Tuggle said, or somebody else's life. People are waiting on us to get it together. And God is waiting on us to agree. So, Father God, I thank you right now today for you speaking so plainly and clearly through your word. I thank you for fortifying what we have ministered tonight in your timing and redeeming the time for those of us who are dealing with this issue or have dealt with it, that we continue to move forward in your timing, that we don't spend time wasting time reflecting on the past or feeling guilty or just being distracted by things that don't matter. Help us, Lord, to prioritize, but give us great understanding and wisdom and knowledge, understand and revelation tonight. I believe that it was given. I believe there's been impartation for those who are willing to let you in and submit to you. So I just thank you, Lord, for blessing us. And I pray, Lord, for the year 2023 to be a time of awesomeness for your people to decide to step out of the old and into the new. I pray, Lord, tonight that the men and women of God that hear this, Lord, begin to hear you and follow, and no other will they follow, that they don't follow their fear. They don't follow their worry. They don't follow their doubt. They don't follow traditions of men. They follow your word and they follow your leading, and they're sensitive to that and that only. And no matter what the cost, Lord, help us to learn to value the things that you value right now, Lord, and truly value them and not allow the cares of this life to suck the life out of us. And we just thank you, Lord, today for your strength, your peace, your love, and your wisdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. And as always, from Spirit Alive Network and God's great love for us with Lester and Vanessa Carver, be ye transformed.
Amen.
Blessed assurance.
Is one. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I am salvation, purchase of God. I am born. born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. I am watching and waiting, looking above. I am filled with his goodness, and I'm lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day.